Well, welcome back. We have, this is the third of four sessions, and just a quick recap. Very first week we talked about, in great detail, how wonderfully and uniquely we are each made. And how that a lot of the foundation of all these classes, this particular session, is built on that. That each one of us is unique, and that there's a role for each one of us to play, and only we can play that role. And you know, really believing that helps you understand that as you go and minister to your family and to other people. And last week, speaking of, we talked about that. We talked about specifically what it meant to minister to your family. And, you know, I don't know if we brought this up or not, but, you know, some of the programs the church, institutional church, had created over the years, one of them in particular called Evangelism Explosion, EE. A lot of people remember that if you've been in Christian circles long enough. And then I can't remember the name of the other one we actually did here. I can't remember the guy's name, but we did a whole series that this guy created about evangelism and how it was where you could ask him, you know, ask anybody in the whole world 7 questions, and you could kind of, you know, back them into a conversation about God. Which, again, this guy has had amazing success. A lot of people come to the Lord. I think that's fantastic. But unfortunately, there's been so much focus on that, those kind of programs, where it's not really, it's kind of like a one-shot deal, where then you may never see them ever again. Or, you know, you knock on the door and ask the question, if you die today, where would you go, heaven or hell? You know, those kind of things. And that, for whatever reason, I don't really fully understand all that, but for whatever reason, they created those programs. And as a result, that became the emphasis. And as a result, we kind of lost what I think the focus ought to have been, which is, you know, focus on family first. You know, the Lord has given us our family first. And I think that there's a lot of power in that, to be able to look with what you have first and then be able to minister outward. Not that you don't, not to the exclusion of. I just feel like that a lot of times it's easier to focus on those that really need it. I think I told you the story of the time I was, for those that didn't hear it, was ministering with the Salvation Army, and there was a couple of guys that were just completely obliterated on crack or whatever it was. And they were weeping as we were, you know, because we had the mobile truck, and you go by and you hand out food, water bottles, coffee, that kind of thing. And these two guys, like, I don't even want the food. I just want you to pray for me. I feel so, you know, I got these kids, and I don't know where they are now. And, you know, just a really sob story. And it's easier to minister to someone like that sometimes, just because, you know, they have absolutely nothing. And then to come home where, you know, if your married spouse or your children or whatever, oftentimes it's, you know, you don't get that same kind of feedback sometimes if you try to minister to your family. But and I've seen a lot of this happen many, many, many times. A lot of, like, men's groups I've been a part of where they spend multiple hours on other things other than their own children or their own family, and it's been very detrimental. I'm going to stop right there. I've got a couple more points to make, but any thoughts about last week? Any testimonies for those that were here? That, any thoughts or comments? Any personal stories? No. What?
I have one.
Okay.
Hang on,
let me get close to you. Because Daryl scolded me last week for not getting close. Okay.
Well, I'm working with a company in Winston-Salem and doing an implementation with them. And one of the ladies that I'm working with, in fact, several of the ladies, I've talked to them enough to find out they were Christians. But two of the ladies, one lady's son is married to the other lady's daughter. But these women, one of the women has a very strong accounting background, so she's very structured and she wants everything lined up just perfect, come together just perfect, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that, but she kind of overanalyzes everything in her life, and so she gets her feelings hurt because she looks at things in that way, and they're not always meant that way. And anyway, a lot of strife is built up between these two women. Well, so anyway, their system went down, and I was talking to one of the ladies on the phone about it, and she and this other lady had had some sort of argument, and she was just livid. She was so angry, you know. And I said, well, can I pray for you? And she said yes. And so I just prayed for, I had been praying for these ladies, but I prayed for her on the phone, and I just went ahead and came against strife and came against all the junk that was going on, offense, all that. I didn't call it a demon, but I came against them. And she cried on the phone. She was so angry. She just cried. Well, that was 2 weeks ago. And so then, you know, I got off the phone with her and everything. And but I just was back over there working with them this week on Friday. And I could tell that that strife atmosphere, that environment, that was gone. It was much less. It was diminished, I'll say. And I could tell that they, you know, they weren't in love with each other, but they were civil. You know, they were nice. There was no hatred going on in the workplace. There was no anger going on, and I was just really relieved mm-hmm. to see that. Mm-hmm. You know, but they needed somebody to pray for them that knew what was coming against them. That's because right. they're both Christian ladies, and they want to live a yeah. good Christian life, yeah. but they didn't understand what was happening.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. That's a good testimony, and one that actually applies for today, today's session. And one last thing I want to mention about the ministering to your family back on last week, and then we'll dive into today's session. I really believe that a lot of the things that we're called to do in our own family, whether it mean husband, wife, or children, or extended family, siblings, parents, those kind of things, I feel like those, if we take priority with those and we work through some of those. Landon shared last week about his two brothers and how they how they've had some major differences, but and it's not easy. And you know, I talked about my sister, how you know we're not exactly we're not by any stretch enemies, but we're not close like I'd like for it to be. And it's, to me, it's very difficult. I don't really understand that or why, but I feel like the Lord's calling me to engage that a little bit deeper. And I think, and I know this to be true, when times in the past when I've had to work through issues either with Shannon or with one of the children, that through that comes breakthrough. And that breakthrough is not just for the family, it's for others that are around you. And we talked about that a little bit last week as well. And I think that as you see that happen, not only does it build confidence, but those around you really, really see that. So last week, or this week, we're going to talk about ministering, using your individual giftings, your individual, the way the Lord built you individually, to minister in the realm where you are most of the time. So we've talked about yourself first, family second, and now we're getting into kind of where most of your routine is, if you work, your job, those kind of things. And the reason, before I do that, I want to kind of set the stage a little bit, because one of the reasons why we changed the format of fellowship is because we believe that at this point there are a lot of people, a lot of Christians, and in fact, statistically, we know the world and the Christians, the behavior and the way they live is really no different at this point. And we feel like that the fellowship specifically is being called to understand these things more deeply, to notice those people that are around you. And so we're going to talk about that today for sure. But I believe that the fellowship will be a place where people can get a better, we will get a better understanding, but in addition to that, people around us will get a better understanding of what's happening in your own life, and then activate that understanding within it where you are. And as a result, I think the newfound sense of empowerment and knowing that God is for you will spill over into the relationships that you have where you are. And you're going to find that most people don't have what we're talking about, and they're desperate for it. they would do anything to know about this. I talked to a guy, another person, Friday. He told me that he goes to church there every Sunday, same deal, and he rattled off a string of F-bombs and GDs and all this kind of stuff just because I asked him, how are things going at home? And that was his reaction. And I'm not criticizing his language. I actually was honored that he even was willing to be that open with me. But this guy in church all the time. And I asked him, this is what I said to him, because I've been praying for him. And I came up to him and I said, I feel like the Lord's been asking me to talk to you. Have you ever had any counseling? You and your wife ever had any counseling? He said, I have, but she refuses. I said, well, why don't we just start with you? I said, does your pastor? And he goes, yeah, I met with my pastor, but he told me just to hang in there, and never gave him practical things. And again, this goes back to the testimonies of your own story. For me personally, we're in a small group in men's fraternity, and he's in that group, and I share with him some of my struggles that I've had between Shannon and I. And again, I'm working on those things. He sees it. He hears it. He wants to understand more about that. He doesn't want to be told, hang in there. Now God says, that's what he's been hearing the whole time versus, hey, I understand how you feel. I've been there too, And he told me, this is what he said, and I didn't know this, but before men's fraternity started, I was asked to speak at his church men's group. And he'd come up to me afterwards at the break, and he said, I'd be interested in coming to this men's fraternity thing you're talking about. I said, well, here's when it's going to start. And so he's been coming ever since. So when I went up to him and was asking him, I said, I feel like I've been praying for you. I said, I feel like I can help you some. Just go get a cup of coffee and let's talk, And he said, well, the night you came to my men's group, he said, I knew there was something different about you, and I wanted to follow you. And I followed you in men's fraternity. And he said, I've been looking for something like this for a long time. I don't have it. And, I don't say that braggingly at all. I didn't do anything. I mean, all I did was talk about real life. Christians and non-Christians alike desperately want to hear your story. They just want to hear your story. They don't want to hear 100 Bible verses first. They want to hear what your story is. They want to hear what you struggle with. So, with that being said, let's talk about where we do that. First place, for those that are in the workplace, obviously that's going to be your full-time job. In fact, there was the Bureau of Statistics from the Department of Labor created this pie graph, which I left at the house. But it shows where a typical American spends their time. And for those that work full-time, you actually spend more time at your job than you do when even sleeping. I couldn't believe it. In fact, another statistic that was interesting was like 2.7% of the time is spent with family. It was amazing. So you actually spend most of your time if you're in the workplace, that's where you spend the bulk of your time, obviously. And in that setting, some people say, well, it's just a job. But in that setting, there are opportunities, of course, as we all have been taught for those that have been part of the fellowship for a long time. So as you start your day, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what's going on around you. Perfect story you just shared. The lady was angry. She's upset. I mean, major strife's happening. You were able to discern the situation and step into it and diffuse it for the most part. The fact that she was crying lets you know that something was touched deep inside there. I know some of you may remember some of these testimonies, but I remember I had this client that was not one of my favorites. And I actually kind of inherited this lady from another person in my business who had retired, and he asked me to take care of her, and I was. But every time I'd see her, she'd be like, I know why you're here. You're just trying to get some bunch of money off me. I know what you're doing. That's just like the people before you. And I thought, oh, God. She didn't know me. But that's what she would say, every time I'd come in. I said, you know, her name was Joyce. I said, Joyce, I said, that's, you know, I'm simply here to review what you have. That's my whole purpose here. I have no other agenda, just to simply review what you've got. So I was able to do that and then get beyond business and talk about personal things. And I feel like it kind of began to, but every time I still see her, she'd still start off with something like that, no matter what. But we'd get into, because her husband passed away unexpectedly through a very routine surgery. And she said, I have all this money, and I've saved all this money for us to enjoy when we're retired, and now he's gone, and I don't understand it. So then you start getting the root of why she's got that hard shell, you know, going on. So anyway, long story short, she developed lung cancer. She has been a lifelong smoker and developed lung cancer. And when I heard that, the very first thing I thought was, I need to go pray for her. So, but, you know, and then I realized that she lived in the Winston area, basically. I knew she was at Forsyth. And I had a Winston appointment coming up. So I was driving to this appointment, and I was on the way back, and in the back of my mind, I was going to do it. In fact, the person that told me about it, I told that lady, I said, I'm going to go pray for her. And then I regretted saying that I was going to go pray for her because I didn't want to. I mean, not, you know, just being selfish and honest, you know, the reason why I say I didn't want to, because then my mind began, as you remember Daryl's class, he talked about your rational mind begins to get into work. So that's exactly what was happening to me. I figured I'd show up in the hospital room and say, oh God, you're just waiting for me to die, aren't you? You know? So my imagination just took over. And I'm driving down 40, and you know, and this is it. I mean, I'm on the way back home, got tons to do in the office, and I'm going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I finally just said, you know, so I just called her and she answered. It's like, as I said, Joy, I hadn't talked to her in a decent while, so I figured she'd probably get mad at me for that too. But anyway, I said, you know, look, you know, I heard the news, and I hear you're in the hospital, and you know, I'd like to. I said, have you had people praying for you? You know, she goes, yeah, I've had a lot of people praying for me. I said, oh, that's good. You know, I said, well, I just want to let you know. I figured, you know, if you didn't, I was in the neighborhood, you know, and thought I'd come by and pray for you. She said, I would really like that. I was like, wow. So I went to the hospital, and she was in the hospital, and they seemed fairly optimistic about it. And she said that, but I asked her, I said, what do you want? I just felt led to ask her that question. You know, what do you want? She said, I just want peace. I just want peace. So I held her hand, and I prayed for her. Prayed for peace, that she would have peace. And I think it meant a lot to her. And I walked away from that time feeling really, really good about the fact that the Lord asked me to do something, and that, you know, because I don't always, but I did this time, and I felt good. And she actually passed away shortly after that. And what was interesting, this is something, just as a side note, because when I shared the story, this had not happened. She passed away. And she had a sizable amount of money, and that I managed the bulk of it. And her daughter, she only had one daughter. And the daughter, I could never meet with her. She never, and I even had some of her money. Again, this was a relationship that I inherited, so I didn't have a relationship with this lady. But I kept, and that's another thing she kept saying, yeah, my daughter says she must not have enough money for you because you never call her, and I left messages for her, you know. So, you know, I just couldn't win with this lady. But anyway, so, long story short, you know, she passed away. The will, and I was somewhat involved in the trust there. All the money is going to her daughter. Well, her daughter takes everything and moves it away from me. So, and you know, I had to fight a little bit of, you know, I did the right thing here. What's going on here? You know, thinking that, and I was so tempted to call that lady and say, you know, did this guy pray with your mom? You know, I was so tempted to do that. I didn't do that. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about it. Thanks, Landon. I appreciate that. Yeah, no. But I'm just, you know, again, just you know, going back through the emotional part of that, just saying, the whole point is obviously, it's only for Him. It's only for Him. You know, it's only for to be obedient. Sometimes it's the outcome won't be as you expect. And that's fine because He asked you to do it. And when we're in the workplace, there's going to be opportunities there to step into situations and just ask the Lord how to handle it. He'll help you through it. And a lot of times, it'll be through your own story. Most of the time, it'll be through your own story. There was more kids in this class. Eric's the only one here that. How are you, Eric? 13? 14?
11.
11? Okay, gosh. So we talked a little bit about school. You know, we talked about how a lot of kids, Eric's age and other kids in the class, the other room, how, you know, very often in school there'll be kids that sit by themselves, you know, or, you know, kids that don't have any friends, or kids that moved in from other places and, you know, they don't know anybody. And if you've ever been that kid, or you've ever talked to someone like that, it's very, very hurtful for them not to have any friends or know anybody. And again, it's not easy, but for Eric, you know, and your friends and stuff like that, to be able to, if the Lord leads you to do it, to step in to talk to some people that may not, they may be outcasts or something like that, it could change the complete direction of their life. So that school was another one, and actually we talked about the fact that Tanya wasn't in the class, but Julie was, and I think Ashley, Cobb, Tanya and Ashley, I think, have unbelievable opportunities as a teacher, and you probably see it. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, I mean, what do you see that the kids are just starving for some sort of affirmation?
Mm-hmm. Affirmation and love and just direction, too, because a lot of them, they're that 2. Whatever percent that you're sitting with families, they don't even get that.
Yeah.
And they just have an adult speaking to their mom.
Yeah.
Can
you even mention Jesus in school?
Officially, you know, you're supposed to wait for them to ask you. But our school, I'm really fortunate to be the school that kind of flies under the radar on a lot of things because it's a really small school, and so there's a lot more people there. I frequently pray with kids. I write a lot of letters.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Like what is an example of just not mm-hmm. not specifically, but how do you get them a letter? How do you write them a letter? Like you send it to their home, or do you?
I don't know. I give it to them personally.
Oh.
And yeah, they just, if I know that something's going on and, you know, they need some encouragement, or a lot of times something's going on and they need some correction.
Yeah.
And, you know, they hold on to those, and they'll come back and see me years and years later and be like, I still have those letters you wrote me. And
yeah.
I mean, just an adult took that time to spend, focus on them. You know, a lot of those kids just don't have that.
Yeah.
Well, and particularly that it's very private if you do it in a letter. It's mm-hmm. not like you're speaking to them, especially if it's correction.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a teacher doing that.
They do come back. After they graduated, they're still with GTSC a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
She'll take them on walks.
Mm, we get some walks a lot.
And then she can't speak. She's not their student. I mean, their teacher anymore.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. She's able to really.
Yeah, I have a lot of kids that, you know, once they've graduated, I'll take them on a date and we'll go out to lunch or something.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's pretty awesome because that relationship is already built, and then you can speak into it a little bit more once they're not a student anymore. So.
Yeah.
And they can reread the letter. You know, it's not like they've got to remember what you said.
Mm-hmm.
They reread it.
Or a text. Yeah. which, you know, and there's power. I think anybody would say there's a lot of power today for the written letter. I mean, emails are still special, texts are still great, but that sets it apart. So the power that a teacher has is amazing. I think another area where probably everybody can relate to some degree is the neighborhood. This is just something that's happened to us very recently. There's a dog that... What's that? we have a puppy now, and it's a female, and this dog keeps showing up. I just assumed that because the dog may be in heat or something, but it's actually another female. And the reason why this dog keeps showing up is because it's not getting enough attention in a home, and it wants to play with our dog, and so we let the dog in, and they just have the best old time. Well, this dog shows up like, for a while there, like three times a week. And the neighbor who lives diagonal from us kept coming to get the dog. And I kept saying, look, it doesn't bother us a bit. Our dogs, they have a great time together. And anyway, a couple of things I've sensed with her as the wife. In fact, she even said one time, this coming Sunday, I'm going to be doing a lot of work. Do you mind if I get your dog to come over to our house and set the play dates up? You know, it was pretty funny.
I can't
think on
too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, do you mind? Do you mind?
I know. Do you want?
But that's just, and so something has started. You know, we didn't ask for it and we didn't know, but I've seen some things with her, specifically health related and maybe marriage related. And one time her husband came to get the dog. He wasn't nearly as friendly. And I really sensed some things there, but something's happened. You know, I mean, just in your neighborhood, you know, your neighbors, or you never know what can happen. So just to be aware of surroundings again. I think as the weather begins to change, taking a walk. I mean, every time we take a walk, we run into somebody and conversation begins. And right now, it's a guarantee that some people on your street and your neighborhood are going through some really, really tough situations right now. And they have no idea what to do. They feel absolutely helpless. And, we don't know until we ask or until we get involved with our neighborhood sometimes and pray and just say, Lord, what's happening here? I'll never forget, this client came in my office. He, very sad, his daughter passed away. She was 20. And it was a 2-year battle of cancer in the brain. And he we became pretty close during that time. And then afterwards, he shared with me the whole story, which was very gut-wrenching. And he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, you know, when we got done with everything, and, you know, I'm at home all by myself, and I'm just like, you know, now what am I going to do? You know, he said, and he wasn't, you know, most guys don't think about this stuff anyway to some degree, but he said, you know, nobody came to visit. He said, but one day I showed up and there was, maybe the neighbor called. The neighbor behind him called and had no idea that the daughter had passed away. And he said, Brad, this guy came over all the time. He and his girlfriend, and they bought me supper. He said, they constantly asked me to come over and watch a game. He said, they reached out to me like nobody else did. And the one thing I took away from that is that they weren't Christians. He is very nominal, to say the best case scenario. And people that helped him the most weren't believers. So if anything, if he's on the fence, shifts the other direction. I just thought, you know, how many people around him. And he said, I mean, I go to church and I have this church family, you know, but they didn't do anything for him. And nor did any of his neighbors. Not one. Except for these guys and the guy and girlfriend in the back. Oh, wow, that's a big chance, man. Yeah, please.
I want to encourage everyone and myself to really be sensitive to those around us, because when I was 14, my daddy died suddenly of a heart attack. And I was raised in a Christian home. Both my parents were Christian. We went to church every time the door was open, from the time, I mean, as long as I could remember. But when my daddy died, I was 14 years old, and I cannot remember one person that reached out to me. My mother did. My mother, and I don't blame her, because she had 7 children when my daddy died. So, you know, but nobody talked to me about what had happened. Nobody talked to me about my feelings or what was going on inside of me. And if I had somebody, a teacher or a neighbor or somebody in my life that was sensitive or heard the voice of the Holy Spirit telling them what to say to me, it would have made all the difference in my life. I really, really believe that. Because I went into a state of depression at the age of 14. And I was depressed all throughout my teenage years. And I ended up marrying an alcoholic when I was 17 years old. And I know it was all because of I didn't know what to do with what I was feeling inside. I didn't know how to deal with what had happened. And nobody reached out to me. I was a kid, and I didn't know how to handle it. And so I went inside myself, and it really affected my life for years. And so I want to be sensitive. And, you know, we just went through Daryl's class about hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, being sensitive to His voice to show us what to say to people. And sometimes it's scary because, you know, you're taking a risk, you're taking a chance when you step out like that. But if somebody had been in my life that God had heard God say, this child needs you to encourage her. She just needs somebody to talk to.
That's right.
Anybody had reached out to me, it would have made all the difference in my life, I'm telling you. But I had nobody. Nobody.
That's incredible.
And God did later on, you know, meet my need when I was about 25 years old is when I came back to the Lord. And so He began to really help me and minister me and bring me out of depression. But it was unnecessary for me to go through those teenage years like I did. And I missed Ellen so much, so much because of what happened to me.
It's not always what you can say to somebody, it's just being there.
Exactly right. Right.
It just shows God's love.
That's right.
Just to say, I care.
Yeah.
You know, what can I do?
Yeah.
I'm here to, you know, give you a hug.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I talked to. Right.
They'll tell you what they need.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want to cry on your shoulder.
They'll tell you what they need.
That's right. I remember talking to this is so much less than that even, but a guy who was part of our men's group who said that he lost his job, and he said, people avoided me in church. He's talking about church specifically. And he said, they just didn't know what to say. You know, like you said, you know, I think, and it's, I mean, you don't know what to say, and you know people felt compelled to talk to you, but allowed their reason to overcome
or their fear.
And a lot of times it simply is, I don't know what to say other than I'm just so sorry, you know. And not to continue to say that the fellowship, I never want to give the impression that we're better. I'm not saying that. I do feel like we've been more equipped. I do say that. I feel like if we're more equipped, we're more responsible. And I think having the opportunity to step into something like that is critical. And we hear it all the time. And with the neighborhood, this is another movie clip I want to show you. It's a movie called The Secrets of Jonathan Sperry, which is a Christian movie. Have you seen it? Have y'all seen it? Who's seen it? Raise your hand if you've seen it.
Yeah,
okay. You know, the thing about this movie, you know, some of these Christian made movies are not don't have the best acting in it, but the point is really well made in some of these stories. Now this opening scene, this is not opening scene, this particular scene, the man in the movie is named Jonathan Sperry, and that's the guy here in the middle who used to be the director of The Love Boat, I think.
Yes.
Same guy, right? So anyway, he's his wife has passed away. Maybe some years ago, and he is looking in the actively aware of his surroundings, eager to engage in those that he thinks need help. And he has come across a young boy who cuts grass, and he's asked this boy to cut his yard. And he's maybe 10 or 11 years old, who does not have a father. I don't know why he didn't have a father. I don't remember that part of the movie, but he doesn't have a father. And this man has reached out to him, got him to cut his grass. They started a conversation. This little boy has invited two of his friends over to this man's house. And this is, and I want you to listen to the way Mr. Sperry interacts with these boys.
does stand.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. You had three glasses yesterday.
No, this is enough. He's too busy thinking about his new girlfriend. Shelly girlfriend? You know her, no?
So that doesn't make her my girlfriend.
Her name's Tanya.
Tanya?
She's a girl in her class that works at the diner. Her father owns it. The problem is that Nick likes her too. Quiet, Albert. Quiet. I told him I thought it was a mistake. Albert, will you be quiet? What am I doing? You tell him. I was just telling
him. Sure. It's a delicate situation, then.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, I remember the first girl I had feelings for. I was just about your age, too. Her name was Martha. A very pretty girl. I liked her so much I couldn't even talk to her.
That's Dustin.
Oh, then I know how he feels. I tried to pass a note to Martha during class one day. It dropped on the floor. The teacher saw it, picked it up, and read it out loud to everybody. I was asking Martha if she liked me. Boy, was I embarrassed.
Can you imagine?
If I only knew then what I know now.
What do you mean, Mr. Sperry?
I failed to ask the Lord about Martha.
Ask the Lord?
Yes. To see if he wanted me to spend more time with her. Turned out she wasn't interested in anything I thought was important. Could have saved me a lot of embarrassment.
The Lord is interested in the girls we like?
Absolutely. The Lord is interested in everything in our lives.
Yeah, I know. The Bible's always saying, don't do this, don't do that.
Oh, I never look at it that way.
What do you mean?
Everything in the Bible is there to make our lives better. Now, the Bible says not to steal. Do you want anyone stealing from you, Mark?
No.
Well, I guess that's a pretty good thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is.
And the Bible says not to lie. Do you want anyone lying to you, Albert?
No.
Well, I guess that's a pretty good thing, too, isn't it?
I have thought of it that way. I hardly ever read my Bible. I'm not sure where my Bible lives. Me neither.
I see. I tell you what. Why don't you try to locate your Bibles? And if you do, come by my house, say, Friday afternoon, 2 o'clock. I have something I want to show you. And it has to do with chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake?
Yes, chocolate cake. You like chocolate cake, don't you?
I love chocolate cake.
Well, can I expect the three of you?
I'm not doing anything. I can make it. Me too. I love chocolate cake.
Good. I'll see you around 2 o'clock. You must bring your Bibles.
The one thing about that clip that I thought was really great is he did not, when he said that he's upset about, the little boy's upset about a girl, or he wants to talk to a girl, he didn't say, now the Lord said in Matthew 15:14 that you shall not do that and do this. What he did, he told a story. And immediately the boy and all those boys could relate to what his story was. In fact, he basically described how he felt, which is exactly how that little boy felt. So now you can relate. The Lord stuff came later. But you related to them therein. And that started a Bible study, and the movie is just fantastic. It's actually not a true story. I thought it was, but it's not. But it's a great, great movie, and if anybody wants to borrow it, you can. I'll be happy to lend it to you. Okay. So the last, and that was so that's a neighborhood. And so again, you know, what started with this little boy reaching out to him who mows grass turns into these three boys showing up every week, which then leads to more kids coming, and the whole story is really neat. It's a neat story. So, what do we have in our neighborhood? You know, just something to be thinking about and be aware of. There's endless possibilities. The last one is routines that we have, whether it be short-term or long-term. There's so many different things, but like, some people may have a favorite walking trail they go to, or a gym they work out at, weekly breakfast get-togethers, or play golf. You know, we shared a story before plenty of times about Bob George, how he plays a good bit of golf, and how he has opportunities, endless opportunities to speak into people's lives, and how he's actually done that. You know, Alan Hilda, a perfect example. You know, they were in a particular place for 21 days. And they had the opportunity, as they've shared, to speak into the lives of people. And actually, Hilda shared in this session how she was able to minister to that one girl who's Amish by the Lord's prompting, which is really neat. So you just, you know, just to be aware of the surroundings. I kind of pick on Jeff Phillips. He goes to the YMCA and works out there for probably like 3 hours and might work out for 30 minutes of that. He's constantly talking and, you know, engaging people all the time. Very rarely is he zeroed in on, I mean, he gets his workout done, but he's very aware of the people around him, what they're going through. I also talked last time about Carrie and her physical therapy, about how she did the water aerobics to try to rebuild the strength in the knee. And those women around her, remember that story that lady opened up to her about how helpless she felt. And such a tragic, tragic story to this girl. And evidently, I get the impression that the girl that was talking to Carrie about her how horrible her life has been, how tragic and how much of a victim she's been, that she probably had nobody explain to her feelings before, or why she feels the way she does, or how she can overcome it. I mean, sometimes people who've been victimized like that, they live in that forever. They don't know how to get out of that. They have no idea. They would love to know. And we do know. We do know. Not that we're perfect at it, it's an ongoing process, but we do understand that. So, in wrapping up, and it's a miracle it's 11:43, not 11:59 this time. But I believe, you know, obviously it's an absolute honor to be a part of advancing the kingdom, and I just think we really desperately need to be asking the Lord what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Again, whether it's something in our own life, something with our family, something with those in our surroundings, opportunities will absolutely come, and they will involve you. And they will involve what you have to offer them because of the way God made you. You know, there's, and obviously we know this, but there's certain types of people, like, you know, maybe a friend of Jay's can receive from Jay, but can't receive from me. In men's fraternity, you know, there's three presenters, me and Jeff and another guy named Rick, and we both, all three of us, present very differently. And some of the things that I share don't have any impact, or, you know, have little impact, well, they do powerfully on some. Whereas my friend Rick, if he presents, some people just really gravitate towards what he's sharing. So each one of us have that opportunity. And as you begin to take baby steps and ask the Lord, the confidence will grow and definitely spill over into your surroundings. I said this before, I'll say it 100 times over and over and over, which is why I think Teresa's story is so powerful. You are, you know, because God created you to do something specific, because you're built uniquely and your role is unique, that literally when you step into a situation, you become, the spiritual dynamic of the whole atmosphere changes right around there. It has nothing to do with you, but everything to do with Him and the way He's created you. When you step into a situation, you bring to that your uniqueness, and in addition to that, you bring His authority and the strength that you have, and you will be surprised to see what happens and the power that comes from you when you step into a situation. Sometimes you won't have a chance to ask or feel comfortable about it. Sometimes it may just happen, and you step into it. And I believe that's going to happen more and more and more. I really believe, not to be a doomsday person, because I'm not really, but I do think our time is limited here. I really do. I think we're coming to the end of the age, and I want to take as many people with me as I can. And I know we have an impact. We have the ability to impact a lot of people, and I really want us to be able to do that. We have a lot to offer, and, you know, as the fellowship begins to develop more and more topics to discuss, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to feed people into the ability to understand what they're going through, and to understand how they can overcome, because they don't. They do not know. So just ask that we pray to that. And so before we break into activations, I want to pray. Lord God, I just thank You for today. I thank You that You are ever present And you were always talking, and you were always speaking to us, Lord, about what to do. Lord, that you love us so much right where we are, Lord, and you just, the grace and the mercy that you extend to us is just overwhelming, Lord. I just thank you that you want others to experience that same thing. And the blessing and the best part about that for us, Lord, is that we get to be the ones to be your agents. And I just thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. And I know, Lord, that each one of us in this room have our own struggles and our own issues. And we thank you, Lord, that we can press into you with those as well. Knowing that as we begin to see breakthrough in those areas, Lord, we can offer that same hope of breakthrough in the lives of others. Thank you, Lord, that you're working right now. I thank you that for each and every person in this room, Lord, that they will be able to step into the situation knowing that you got their back and that you're in full favor of what they're doing, Lord. I just thank you for that. Thank you for what you're doing. We ask it in your name. Amen. Going to break up into groups here if we can. So twos or threes if we have an odd number. I think, let's see, where are we here? Two, five, seven, eight. So we can do actually twos. And so maybe Jay and Eric, Landon and Jose, Ray and I guess, and y'all three. Bruce, Dole, and Ray. Does that work? Did I do that right?
We're breaking up in threes.
Twos, or three is an odd number.
You and I?
Yeah. Eric and Jay. Yeah. Is that okay?
Where's Randall go?
Oh. Why Randall and Ray? Anyway, I skipped. Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah, those two. And then.
That was way too hard for him and women to figure out.
That's not the topic of this class.
Yeah. Why don't we do Deborah and Elaine and Jeanette? Teresa and Tanya.
So it's odd number women.
Y'all two and y'all two.
What are we going to do?
I'll tell you in a second. I'm going to tell you. That's good. Okay. Here's the assignment at 11:50. Okay, as you think about today's session, I want you to discuss with the other person what was most significant, or what was the most significant part of the conversation that stuck out to you personally, okay? Some things that stuck out to you that meant a lot for you to share. And then the second question is, of all the things that you're involved in Monday to Monday, where do you feel you have the most opportunity to offer help to somebody?
Okay, what was number one?
Number one is, what was the most significant part of today's session for you?
Oh, okay.
So what was the most significant part of today's session for you? And then secondly, Monday to Monday, where do you feel like you have the most opportunity to help somebody? Based on the different things we talked about. Work, neighborhood, park, walking, the gym, school, those kind of things. Is that clear? Okay.